How has it impacted your thinking? How has it challenged you? Yeah. That's a good observation. I like that. The gifts aren't about us, is it? It's about our Savior. It's about our ministering to others. And each one of these, we've seen, they come with a Christian obligation. As Christians, we're supposed to be doing these things to some degree, but God has chosen to specially gift individuals in these ways that just places it above and beyond what normal Christians would be doing. So we've come down to the gift of giving tonight. Again, my definition, not necessarily something that is specifically spelled out to us in Scripture, but taking the information that we have in studying the Word of God, put this definition together. The gift of giving is the ability to give extraordinarily with joy to the church and the Lord's work on earth. Is there any of those words that stand out to you, other than the one I can't pronounce? Extraordinarily. Get it all out there. Of course, I put that extraordinarily in there because, as we were just saying, we're all supposed to be giving. That is a Christian obligation. And we're going to see that tonight. But those that have a special grace gift of the Holy Spirit for giving are able to do above and beyond what is normal, above and beyond what is ordinary within the church. We see it is to be done with joy. Is there other ways to give? You can give extraordinarily and still not have the gift of the Holy Spirit for giving if it's not expressed in joy. It can be done out of obligation or coercion or some other thing like that. So this is something, because of the work of the Spirit in the individual, it is just a natural, joyful expression of something. It's their service to God. It is to the church. It's not just to any organization or charity or whatever, but it is through the Church of Jesus Christ for the work of the ministry in this life. It's to promote the gospel and to accomplish spiritual things here on earth. It may be for the care of the poor, but in the sense that it is a spiritual work, not just a social work. We find our word in Romans 12 in verse 8. We'll catch the greater context here. Verse 3, "For I say, through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness." So in there we have he who gives with liberality. The word give there is literally a sharing, an imparting. It is taking what we have what we call our own and sharing it with somebody else. How have you been taught how to share? When were you taught how to share? Did you have to be taught to share? Okay. Some do. Yep. Yeah, it's a hard thing to learn. We try to teach it to our kids when they're young. And you teach them to share their toys. You teach them to share their parade candy, you know, different things like that. And it's always a conflict because we're going against the flesh. The flesh desires for itself. It wants to protect itself. It wants to feed itself. It wants to pleasure itself. And when we're given something, if it's an opportunity or a food or whatever it is, we get protective of it. Even as grown-ups find it difficult to share. You know, you get that, you stop and pick up a bag of M&Ms or something at the store while you're out working, and you get home and the kids see it, the first thing that they do is, give me. Well, I've been trying to teach you to share. No, go away. I just bought these for myself. No, okay. I'll share my M&Ms with you. But it's not just necessarily an easy thing to do. But here, this is the point. We're sharing, we're imparting, we're giving to somebody else. And we're to do it with liberality. And that word has a lot of significance here. In some translations, it's simplicity. It's the idea of cheerfulness or joyful eagerness. When we talk about giving away our goods, that's probably not the perspective that we would have. I am looking forward to giving away my hard-earned stuff. Right? I'm looking forward to the opportunity to just give it all away. It's joyful eagerness. It's a disposition to not turn back on oneself. And the idea of that is that we, in making this decision, are not arrested by selfish desires and motivations and calculations. What does it mean to be arrested? Okay, you're detained. Okay, you're detained, you're hindered, you're stopped. When the police officer pulls you over, you are, in a sense, under arrest. You're no longer allowed to go about freely. And until he writes you out your ticket and then sends you on your way, you have been arrested in your progress. Now, if you've really done something bad and he claps the handcuffs on you and tells you that you're under arrest, you are long-term hindered from freedom. Right? It stopped you in your progress of your life. And so here is the idea, something that stops us in the progress of our giving of our goods. That God has laid upon our heart a burden. We see it. We see the need. We know that we have. We should give. We're in the process of giving. And we come up against this selfish motivation that says, do I really need to do this? Can I really do this? What am I going to have to do without if I do this? And that arrests us in that progress. It was the work of God to lay it upon our hearts, and it was the work of the flesh to bring it to a halt. And so, liberality, it's a freedom. God wants us to be cheerful givers, but also this aspect goes beyond just a happy attitude, but a sense of, I'm not held back by selfish motivations. It's not stopping me or even pausing me. It's not even slowing me down because I have such a joyful eagerness to give to the work of the Lord. It is a special grace or a gifting by God. God places this ability upon our hearts as we walk in yieldedness to Him. That's as we're walking in obedience to Him, as we learn about who He is, how good He is to us, how He is our provider, He cares for us, He cares more about us than He cares about the birds in the field, and He makes sure to feed the birds in the field, so He's going to make sure to take care of me. And so I'm learning and I'm walking in obedience to Him, and He gives me this special gift of the Holy Spirit that I am able to give up of my hard-earned efforts for the cause of Christ. As we look at and study these verses, we'll see that there is much about attitude. It's not about where we give it so much. It's not about how much we give. It's about the attitude in which we give it. It's to be done by grace and not legalism. Or maybe another way of saying that, or maybe just a shade different, would be it is to be done in love, not duty. There's a lot of giving done in churches that is done out of duty. You know, in some churches, you buy your pew. You pay the money each year. This is kind of your church tax. And there is sometimes a social duty. You know, everybody here knows that, you know, we're pretty well off, and people look down their nose and get upset at us if we don't give to this, and how much should I give to this? And as Christians, we know we're supposed to be giving, and we know we're supposed to be tithing, but rather than being a process of God's work of love in us, and our worshipful response to Him, we look at it as my duty. I've got to write out the weekly check or the monthly check or however you do that. It's my duty before God. He's required it of me. Well, we're not supposed to look at this giving as a duty. It's not legalism. We're not doing it to earn favor with God, and we certainly aren't doing it to earn favor with men, although sometimes we do. But here it is a work of God's grace in our life. It is our expression of grace to others. It is our love for God and our love for other believers and our love for the lost, that we would give of our hard-earned funds, possessions. It is the attitude of humility and not pride. I don't give so I get recognition. I want people to see. Oh, we're having a fund drive. We're going to try to build a playground for the church or something, you know. If I give so much, maybe they'll put my name on it. Or if I leave some money in my will at the end of my life, when I'm done using it, maybe they'll put my name on something and I'll be remembered. That's an element of pride. We don't give out of pride, but out of humility. All that we have is God's. He has graciously given these things to me and has given me a responsibility to be a steward of those things, and I am humbled by this responsibility. I am humbled by His generosity and His grace. I didn't deserve any of this, and yet He poured out His blessing on my life, and I just want to worship Him. It's to be done in faith and not fear. Giving is to be done in faith and not fear. It's a expression of what we believe about God and His care for us. Do we really believe that He's going to take care of us into the future? That He's going to meet our needs? That He's even going to go beyond that and meet the desires of our heart? But if I give this much money now, I won't get that gun that I'm wanting. I won't get that fishing boat that I want. I won't get that vacation trip that I want. Or I'm going to be miserable in life. I'm afraid that I'm going to be lacking because God's taking everything from me. Now, I know that that's not true. I know that's not what the Word of God says, but that's the way I'm governing my life, out of fear about what could happen in the future. Do I trust God when He asks me for some of His back? Do I trust Him to leave me enough for the future? Jesus spoke very much about financial matters, and I think somebody said that He spoke about financial matters more than anything else, which really takes you back. I didn't actually sit down and try to figure that one out. But it is impressive when you start paying attention to how much of the things that Jesus taught during His ministry were connected to finances. And we would learn much if we would just read through the Gospels with that perspective, just looking for that one thing and write down all that we see about that. We're not going to do that entirely tonight, but we're going to look at a number of them. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 21 and Mark 10:21.